FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. It's June 19th, 2017. Year is almost half over, but the fun is just getting started in the cryptocurrency market. Largest cryptocurrency offering to date, Bancor, raised $153 million. There ought to be a law against this stuff. I mean, as it was called here, it was a coin allocation event. Sounds like a public offering to me. I don't know what John Rubino thinks, but here we are, John, and happy Monday.
Happy Monday, Kerry. Yeah, this means a few things. One is that people are excited about cryptocurrencies and there's a market for new ones. The second is that, you know, this is basically an IPO. It's an initial public offering of a publicly traded entity, but it's not being treated that way yet by regulators because I think they haven't yet figured out what to make of cryptocurrencies. You know, are those things commodities, which means that every trade is a taxable event, or are they money, which means they're in the gray area where they're competing with the legal tender of whatever country, you know, the owner of those currencies happens to be in, which is illegal.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can be put in jail for creating and using a kind of money that that isn't your country's money, especially if you're selling it as money to other people. So the size of that, the Bancor ICO was 153 million. Like you said, that's a pretty decent sized IPO for instance, a small tech company.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. You know, we're into the range of real money now, which means that it's going to attract the attention of regulators and, you know, various other parts of the world's governments that wonder, first of all, whether it's a threat and whether it needs to be controlled. And second of all, whether it can be co-opted and taxed or otherwise drained to mm-hmm. pay for re-election campaigns and stuff. Another related piece of news is that Litecoin, which is, you know, a second tier cryptocurrency in terms of size, next to Bitcoin and Ethereum, it hit $2 billion market cap yesterday or on Friday. And that's a fairly big deal. You know, that's still a pretty good size number in the world of cryptocurrencies and illustrates yeah. how broad this market is. Lots of people are interested in cryptocurrencies and they're willing to go beyond Bitcoin if there's some advantage in a new one that comes out. And so what's happening now is that cryptocurrencies with different characteristics are being brought out that might be better for some specific use. So the market is really fragmenting as techies who understand the ins and outs of these things decide that, oh, this is better for this specific thing that I want to do. I'm going to use this token, you know, and not yeah. Bitcoin. Or Bitcoin is better for the stuff I want to do, so I'm going to stick with that. And anyhow, the market is fragmenting in that way. And it's still wide open. There's still apparently a lot of ICOs in the pipeline where people can just bring out new cryptocurrencies and release them and get a pretty good reception. So this has the feel of the late 1990s tech stock bubble in the sense that a lot of people you've never heard of are bringing out things that you've also never heard of and selling them to an enthusiastic audience. And then after that, they tend to perform pretty well. They reach a bigger audience over time and become more and more valuable in the aggregate. And nobody really knows what to make of any of this because we don't know what the regulatory consequences are. We don't know, at least most users of cryptocurrencies have no idea actually how they work, you know? So, which is a lot like tech stocks, right? We didn't understand those technologies, optical networking or whatever. We just knew that it was going to be huge. And, you know, and so we'll pay $5 billion for this company. The cryptocurrency market is starting to get that kind of a froth about it.
Yeah, it's
so
a mania.
The next couple, you might be able to call it a mania. Yeah,
yeah. Well, this thing, and, you know, there's no disclosure requirements because you're passing out a currency to the public, and it just seems to me it's a big subterfuge for taking a company public with no registration requirements. And there's got to be a law against it, John.
Well, you would think that at some point the regulators will start looking at this and trying to set up a coherent framework that that allows them to control some of what goes on in this market. And the question then becomes, does it hamstring cryptocurrencies in a way that makes them a lot less valuable? Or does the structure bring in lots of new users because there's a sense that the government is looking out for you and stopping people from lying to you, you know, and I don't know. We'll see. I think the concept of cryptocurrencies obviously has a great future. The blockchain and other related technologies will play a big role in the financial world of the future, but we're still at such an early stage. It's really hard to know how it shakes out because, you know, governments made gold illegal for 40 years in the 20th century because they perceived it to be a risk to their ability to manage, which is to say, increase the supply of their national currencies. And if cryptocurrencies are perceived going forward as a risk to national currencies, there's no reason to think why governments don't try to hack the Bitcoin exchanges and destroy their credibility that way, or add regulations that make it not worthwhile to use them anymore, or just flat out make them illegal. You know, something like that will probably come because governments won't give up their printing presses lightly. You know, and Bitcoin and the other cryptocurrencies really are a threat to the ability of governments to use inflation as a public policy tool, and they won't give up that power easily. So we're going to see a lot of fireworks in the cryptocurrency market in the next few years. That's my prediction. You know, besides the natural dynamism of a new market, we're going to see a lot of regulatory stuff happen. And that's going to throw or add a wild card to this process of cryptocurrencies kind of working out their destiny.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that, for one thing, they're not currencies yet. They are not mediums of exchange. The only one that's arguably possesses some of those aspects of a currency is Bitcoin. But the rest of them, you can't just go spend it. There's no merchants taking most of them. So this concept that somehow they are a currency, I think, is a misnomer. I think they're just a security that may or may not have liquidity behind it, John. You can't just go take the thing and buy some bread at the supermarket and some milk and all that. Nobody takes these things. So how can you really call them a currency? I think that's a misnomer.
Well, they function as currencies within the world of people who have them and accept them. Yeah. And as that expands, you know, there's some governments that were actually looking at naming them as currencies and, you know, having them be a parallel currency alongside the yen or whatever. And if that happens, then that expands the market. But right now, you know, Kerry, you and I could buy something from you for Bitcoin. You know, I could buy your house if I had enough Bitcoin and that would just go into your Bitcoin account. And I think that would be a legal transaction. So it's possible to use it as a currency, as a medium of exchange, and as a store of value. If you take Bitcoin offline and keep it in your hard drive or, you know, print it out on paper, the code for it or whatever, it can act as gold in a vault or cash under the mattress. And in that way, preserve your wealth if it holds its value going forward. So it functions as money in some ways in a limited context, and that context is broadening. That's what's interesting. You know, right now, the cryptocurrency market is $100 and some billion market cap, which is a rounding error in the global currency markets. Mm-hmm. But if it jumps to $1 trillion, then all of a sudden it's a real thing and a potential threat. And that's when things get really interesting.
Yeah, well, Bitcoin is the only one, though. The rest of them you cannot use as a medium of exchange. There's no means of exchanging them. You have to somehow... even if there are exchanges for it where you can change Ethereum, Ether units or whatever into dollars or other currencies, you can't buy anything with it, is my point. Bitcoin
but
is the only one.
That's changing. You know, as the number of people who take Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies expands, then, it becomes more and more of a currency for more and more people.
Well, they're not currencies yet, is the point. You can't call something a currency that isn't, you can't, it just doesn't meet the definition, you know, yet. Yeah. It's
right.
Not to say it won't. It's just right now it doesn't. So that's kind of where we're at. And that's why we're in this in this no man's land, this limbo, legal limbo, right? I mean, because nobody knows what they are or what you can do with them or what you'll be able to do with them. But my money is that the government after today is going to take notice very quickly and take steps to stop it, because these things, I mean, it's just like tulip mania, you know? It's really just another form of tulip. In fact, I would like to come up with a tulip Bitcoin, right? That's redeemable in tulips. What do you think of that? Tulip bulbs. Do you think that would go?
At this point, almost anything related. It's like the old .coms, you know, and put a .com on the name of anything.
Right.
And it became three times as valuable in 1998. And call something a cryptocurrency now, and you've got a lot of people's interest. So, yeah, whatever.
But I think
this is just a... Yeah. This is a real technology, though. You know, the blockchain as a means of moving value from one place to another is better than the current banking system. So it wins eventually, some form of it.
Yeah.
Somehow. And the question is, what form does that take? Will it be totally co-opted, or will it be, competitive currencies out there forever, or something in between?
Good question. Well, that's the innovativeness of man. When faced with a whole bunch of unpleasant choices, decisions, comes up and creates something totally new out of nothing, right?
Oh, yeah. Capitalist creative destruction is one of the most fun things to watch that have ever existed, as long as you can watch from a fairly safe distance. You know, you don't want to be the thing being destroyed by creative destruction, but the process of new organisms arising in the ecosystem and displacing the old, less efficient ones is, it's right out of nature, obviously. So, capitalism in that sense is very consistent with the natural world. And it's a blast to watch from a theoretical standpoint. And cryptocurrencies are a perfect example of that. And as is, e-commerce destroying the bricks and mortar retailers and bookstores, and it's that same process at work now, where a better idea comes along and the old entrenched powers try to stop it, but in the end they have to give up because the idea is just better and more people take advantage of it and leave the old guys behind. That's what's happening in a lot of places.
Well, look at the Amazon Whole Foods merger acquisition. And, you got to wonder, what is Bezos thinking? Does he want everybody eating kale? Is that the game plan here?
Well, I'm doing a blog post right this minute, or I'll post it pretty soon here, about how this is eerily similar to the AOL Time Warner merger of 1999. Basically, America Online was the biggest internet company at the time, and its stock price was soaring. Sound familiar with Amazon? And, They used some of that high-powered money to buy an old media company, thinking that they would apply all the new techniques of online media distribution to the content of AOL Time Warner or of Time Warner and create this media powerhouse. And it bombed.
Yeah.
Completely, and it was one of the signposts of the end of the dot-com bubble. Now, Amazon, using its high-powered stock to buy out an old line bricks and mortar retailer, thinking that it's going to use all its new techniques of e-commerce and rapid delivery, et cetera, to revolutionize bricks and mortar retailing, sounds an awful lot like the AOL rationale for buying Time Warner,
doesn't it?
And so we'll see. We can't know until after the fact whether this is the bell ringing at the top of the market or not. But boy, the similarities are really eerie.
Isn't it?
And it really isn't clear how you revolutionize groceries, because it's been tried. I mean, there are grocery delivery services out there coming and going all the time. But it turns out it's very hard to make money doing it, because if you're going to deliver groceries to somebody, you have to pick out the groceries from their grocery list. And somebody has to physically do that. You can't, there's no robot that can get you some nice ripe tomatoes and put them in a bag yet. And it's not clear that people are willing to let anybody do that anyhow. They want to pick the best melon in the thing of melons right there. And they want, the broccoli that looks best to them and everything. Yeah. And they don't trust someone else to do that for them.
Correct.
Which is why grocery delivery store services haven't really caught on. So it's not clear what Amazon does to make Whole Foods suddenly this 21st century e-commerce entity. But we'll see. You know, it's an interesting...
Robots. They're thinking robots and they're
drone
thinking,
delivery.
Yeah, drones and, you know, it's... forget it, you know?
Well, you know, we'll see. Bezos is, he is quite the risk taker. And mm-hmm. his risks have, by and large, succeeded so far. So it'll be fun to watch. We don't want to write him off as, the Steve Case, the head of AOL of this generation, right. until we find out how it turns out. But boy, there's a lot of similarities there.
Surely seems to be. But, well, you know, like Amazon didn't make any money for forever, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So.
But they had a plan and they wanted market share. Mm-hmm. And they accumulated market share and accumulated it until finally they were able to turn a profit. You know, mm-hmm. they, for instance, their Prime membership just went up. I noticed mm-hmm. ours did.
Yeah.
And they've got such a captive audience now because that's such a great product that they can move it from $99 to $110 and they won't lose too many subscribers. So that's boom, instant margin right there. And they're able to do that with a lot of things now. They're so big and that size gives them pricing power to an extent. So now their stock price is approaching $1 trillion because of that. People are recognizing the fact that that they're succeeding. But that's still, you know, I think we might look back on Amazon's and Google's and Facebook's current price and say that it was probably a mistake to pay that much for them, you know, and we can't know the timing of that realization. But I think that is coming somewhere out there in the next few years.
Oh, yes.
But that doesn't mean those aren't successful companies. They're very good at what they do. You know, maybe they're only really worth half of what they're going for now in the market, but that's still a huge amount of money. They're still incredibly successful, well-run companies. So you can't write them off in any kind of a new venture like the Whole Foods thing. But market history says that there's a pretty good chance that we're going to look back on this as something that maybe shouldn't have been done, or at least not at this price.
Yeah, they'll be selling them off probably at some point. I mean, unless he's got some grand strategy here. I guess they do sell a lot of grocery-related stuff on Amazon. You know, I bought plastic bags and all sorts of stuff on there that makes no sense, you know, that they're selling.
Well, it'll be interesting to see. You know, I'm really curious about what they try to do with Whole Foods because that's a great store too.
Yeah, great brand.
I'd really like to go to Whole Foods whenever we're in a city that's big enough to have one. And, you know, the concept is just really well thought out. You know, it's the place where you go and everything you get will be healthy. They promise.
Yeah, well,
you'll pay a little more
I wonder if it's also healthy, but, you know, hey, it's a... It doesn't seem to matter much if it, you believe it's healthy.
It was healthy.
But if you believe it's healthy, that's the important thing, right?
Yeah, maybe the placebo effect is a big part of the health claims of a store like that. You know,
maybe
you feel better because you feel like you should feel better.
If it's a good placebo. A good placebo can be as good as the real thing, right?
It can. Yeah. So whole mind body connection at work in a grocery store.
Hey, maybe placebo foods would be a great. You know, a great chain to open, right?
Oh,
we'll
God.
Just tell you everything is healthy, whether it is or not, and you'll believe it, so you'll feel better.
Yeah, yeah. And you'll know that you're going to feel better if you believe, so you'll want to believe, you know?
Yeah. So I think we're onto something, John. You know, placebo foods.
Gary, there's your next project.
Yeah. Hey, you know, if it's, as long as it's good placebo, that's the important thing. So that's the kind of craziness we're into. We have placebo stocks, placebo currencies, and now we'll just have placebo foods, placebo health foods.
There you go.
Right? I think that's it. I think we're at the beginning of something here. It's going to be big. but seriously, you know, the M&A thing, just to keep Wall Street going, whether they don't care if it makes any sense or not. Just as long as they can get money in and get people interested, and that's their thing, right? I mean, nothing else matters.
Well, that's capital flow 101. You know, when money is flowing into something, you get more of whatever it is. And right now, central banks are creating trillions of dollars every year out of thin air. Mm-hmm. And tossing it into the banking system. So where is it going to go? You know, it's been going into real estate. It's been going into blue chip equities, and those things are soaring. And it's been going into, with a vengeance, high-end tech. So big tech has more money than it knows what to do with. So it shouldn't be a surprise that human nature being what it is, they're going to start building empires. And and a lot of those empires are going to be badly thought out because they were based on insane amounts of money coming in.
Right. That's so, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, that's normal. That happens in every cycle. And you can't really know until after the fact what the end of the cycle is, you know, whether this is the deal that tells us we're at the end, or there's another bigger one out there waiting to happen. And that's going to be the one. So we'll find out eventually what's
bigger,
what.
Bigger, but, better deal.
Oh, you know, maybe Google will buy Facebook or something like that. You know, nothing is impossible when this kind of money is coming in, and the egos of the guys receiving the money are just, you find out what you are really like when all restrictions are removed from your behavior. So, you know, you give corporate CEOs more money than they've ever dreamed of to have to play with. And their true nature comes out in a lot of cases. And you see these guys who have delusions of grandeur. You know, they're going to build this giant empire. Then they're going to run for Congress or president or something like that. And they're going to rule the world. And you know, that kind of hubris always blows up in their faces. But while it's going on, it's very intoxicating.
Oh, yeah. Well, everybody's a sociopath. When you throw enough money at them and you get rid of enough rules and they can do whatever they want, right?
Gary, which is the libertarian/sound money point of view? You know, power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. So you must limit the amount of power that's out there. You can't give the government an unlimited printing press because that's the kind of power that will corrupt them. You can't allow governments to grow and take over huge sections of the private sector because that kind of power will corrupt them too, you know, and that's what we've done over the last, basically the 40 some years since the 1970s, we have given government almost unlimited power. And now, you know, government is basically formed a partnership with the big corporations, which gave the corporations unlimited power. And that's what we're seeing now. We have an oligarchy ruling the developed world, largely because we abandoned sound money back in 1971. You know, if Nixon hadn't made that decision, governments would have been limited going forward, and we wouldn't have the banking oligopoly and the government partnership with the banking oligopoly that we have now.
Yeah, I think you're probably correct there, but this is what we've got. This is what we're stuck with. And it's not a case of that old play in Broadway, like 40 years ago, stop the world, I want to get off. There's no place to go. And we're kind of stuck till this experiment runs its course, right?
Yeah, well, in the meantime, the intellectual challenge is how do you protect your finances in this kind of a world? And then how do you profit from it when it blows up? So that's what we got to do, Kerry. We got to have to figure it out and tell people about it.
And blow up it
will. Everybody get rich together.
Yeah, blow up it will. So check out John's site over at dollarcollapse.com. Our site, Financial Survival Network. Email us, kl@kerrylutz.com. That's kl@kerrylutz.com. And any questions, comments, etc., Twitter feeds @KerryLutz. Facebook page is Financial Survival Network. And we will catch up with you next Monday, John.
Thanks, Kerry. Talk to you then.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.